Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, wanting to pray that you have a very blessed solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and that there are many blessings in the day for you. Certainly, this is the heart of all of the kind of spirituality of the church, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Yes, Sacred Heart of Jesus is the heart of all of it. And also, what a day. I don't know if the balloons in the studio and the party hats and the decorations are for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or if I'm wearing a tie today for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or for the fact that Roe versus Wade, that terrible, terrible decision of the Supreme Court from two generations ago now has been overturned. But I have a feeling that these two things are related anyway, so we're just celebrating. Two people here to help us celebrate, also answer questions. We'd love it if you'd get in on the conversation. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884, whether you agree with the things we say or disagree. This is a perfect day for conversation. As a matter of fact, we're looking forward to lots of conversation and debate and seeking to convince one another, which is the work of democracy, which is the work that we hope to commence now, that we are at liberty to do so. And convince our fellow citizens without violence, without coercion, that in fact, the life of every human being is precious, sacred, in fact, and must be protected by law from the moment of conception to natural death. Well, who do you think we get here? Of course, we've got Trent Horn with us today. For years, one of the leading pro-life voices in the world, a great defender of the Catholic faith. And here, I think you must be celebrating today, Trent.
It was a rush of emotion, Si, but yes, I did celebrate. We ate cake today.
You did?
So it finally, I sound like a pioneer. Like, we had cake today.
Yeah.
My goodness. We had this thing called cake. Because I was not overly optimistic that we would, the draft decision that was leaked in May, I loved that decision. And so I was not very optimistic that that's the one we would get. And that is essentially what we did get. So it's a lot. The way I feel, Si, is that it's a long fight ahead, but it's okay to take a weekend off to celebrate.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Trent, thanks. And we'll talk more about that. And of course, there's going to be a million different takes on just how triumphant triumphal, I suppose, is the word I'm looking for, we should be about this and whatnot. And we'll talk about all that over the course of the next 2 hours. I hope we'll talk with lots and lots of callers, whether you agree or disagree with us, whether you want to affirm or deny what we say. We just value the conversations. And for us today is a great day to talk about the history of Roe versus Wade and maybe the history that is yet to be made in the pro-life movement. 888-318-7884. With also with us, another great apologist, a great defender of life and defender of the church as well, and our associate here now. It used to be we would say you were our friend, but now you're our friend and associate. See, I like how
hey,
I did that, Joe.
I like that.
Joe Heschmeyer, also a lawyer, I should say.
Yeah.
So we'll get your legal perspective on this as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
I have to say, I was surprised at my reaction. I saw a text that said I had to come into work because we were off today. We had pre-recorded shows they'll play at a later time. When I saw that I had to come into work, I almost knew what that meant, but I didn't know was the decision good? Was it bad? I mean, mixed or what? So I turned on the TV, and the little chyron underneath the people said Roe versus Wade overturned, and I found myself weeping. I suddenly overcome with this sense of I really didn't know that that's how I was going to react, and also just overwhelmed with gratitude to Jesus and praising Jesus and thanking Jesus that this day has come. How about you, Joe? How did you find out this morning?
I found out by text message. I'm a little embarrassed because I knew the decision was coming out today. And I knew it was either going to come out yesterday or today because these are the only 2 days left on the calendar that it could have come out. And so I was closely watching yesterday. They released 4 opinions. None of them, of course, stops. And so that only left today, unless they were to just say, you know what, we need more time, which would be pretty extraordinary. But it still caught me a little off guard this morning. I just wasn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it. And it still hasn't sunk in some way. And in some ways, the meaning and impact of this remains to be seen.
Yes.
Because you could imagine a world in which Roe v. Wade is overturned. There's no longer a constitutional right for abortion. But the federal government and or the 50 states pass such extreme abortion laws that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. In many ways here where we are right now in California, it doesn't matter.
No, I should add that even in that case, it's still better that at least we don't claim it's a constitutional right. As bad as it is for the government to permit abortion, that's at least something that's a lot easier to change than when this court, unelected body, like decides that it's a constitutional right and then refuses to change it, even when members of the court realize that was probably a mistake.
Yeah, right. Trent, how about you? How'd you find out this morning, or did somebody wake you up? Were you already going, or what?
No. So the court released it releases its opinions at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I was just waiting for it. I was logged in. I thought there might be decisions next week. I did not think. So unlike Joe, which is funny, I saw it be released, but I did not think it was going to come out today. So mine was a reverse from Joe. I thought that it would be probably pushed. Because I think there might still be some term days left next week. I don't think all the cases on the docket have been cleared. But I was also suspicious that they had a special day today, Friday. They normally wouldn't release a case. So I thought that was odd. So I was waiting, but my two-year-old demanded to go jump on the trampoline with me. And, you know, two-year-olds get what they want. So I'm jumping on the trampoline with him, and I'm looking at my phone, being an irresponsible dad, at SCOTUS blog. So SCOTUS blog is probably like the first place to get news from the Supreme Court of what's going down. And I was jumping and I saw the first case come out, and that was kind of a boring case about Medicare. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't think it's coming out today. So I get down to the trampoline, I go inside, I go upstairs. I open up my laptop anyways just to check. I turn on SCOTUS blog, nothing's happening. Then I see it ding, Dobbs is out. And I was like, and I just like my heart jumped, like Dobbs is out, and then ding, the next one. 6-3 Roe Casey overturned, and I was brought to tears just seeing it, right? And I took a little screen grab of it because I'm like, this was the moment of history, like to see, and because I was concerned that it would be piecemeal or maybe even be something else entirely, and that just wasn't the case. So it's very exciting. And then I spent this morning reading. Well, I read the majority opinion. I started reading through it and was shocked that and I haven't gotten through hardly any of it, but it seemed almost identical to the leaked draft. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be completely rewritten. So instead, I read more of the dissent and the concurrences and then recorded an episode for my podcast and then went to Mass to give thanks to God. And also, my family's going to Mass. I wanted to give thanks to God, and I wanted to be there because I don't know. Some people are a bit untowards. I don't know what they're going to do today at Catholic churches. So it's been a lot.
Yeah, it has been a lot. I'm older than you two, but I can remember the feeling of the day that the Soviet Union finally collapsed. And you had this sense of that was reality, and that reality doesn't exist anymore. Now what are we going to do? And I have a very similar feeling today. Like you... Even though you knew the Soviet Union was going to collapse, it was coming. And even though we knew this decision appeared to be coming, now that it's happened, it's a very eerie feeling for me. I don't know. I was very like something that was just a horrible evil has been removed. And and we were just driving over here together, and you're in the front seat with John. And I almost felt I was just going to start crying again because it occurred to me. There are places where abortion is illegal in the United States today. And I just felt overwhelmed by that.
Well, Cy, that's how I feel, because for you guys, you're like, nothing's changed. Abortion's now illegal in Texas.
Congratulations. Yeah, 26 states. Yeah, you guys right after
Planned
Missouri,
Parenthood has said they're not performing abortions right now until they contact their lawyers to see what options they have. It's done.
Yeah, we have birthday hats here. And it's not glib. There are children who will have a birthday who wouldn't have had a birthday other than today's opinion.
And both of you have alluded to the fact that there's so much work yet to do. A great deal of that work has to do with caring for mothers too. And I hope that the pro-life movement will stay united on this front, because if there's a lesson we've kind of learned over these years is don't divide the mother and the child.
But I will tell you this, Cy, for people to see, people have to remember the pro-life movement is the one who has been caring for mothers.
Yes, thank you.
Planned Parenthood doesn't offer people prenatal care. They don't offer them baby supplies. I know women who went to Planned Parenthood who wanted to have the baby. And Planned Parenthood told them, go to a pregnancy resource center. We don't have that kind of stuff here. So the people who don't care about women, they are the people tonight who are going to bomb and destroy. They've already attacked like 40 of them. These are the people who are championing women's rights. They're bombing pregnancy resource centers that exist to help women.
Yeah,
who's not really caring for women here?
Well, and actually, John Sorensen, who we drove with to get here, pointed out that there was an article about all of these clinics that are closing in states like Oklahoma and Texas and all these states that have now got these trigger laws that are outlawing abortions. And so these abortion clinics are closing. And John's comment was, wait a second, I thought you said this is only 3% of what you do. How is it that once you can't do this, it sounds like you were lying?
Sounds like you might have been in the abortion business all along.
Right. You know, if you said you can't have the filet of fish and McDonald's closed, you'd be like, well, that's surprising. I didn't think that was a very big part of their business.
Yeah, right.
And so if this was that, if they were telling the
Fridays
truth.
Fridays during Lent. Fridays during Lent, they have to close.
Yeah, exactly. So it really is. Quite a remarkable thing. But I want to go back to something you said, Cy, if I may. The end of the Soviet Union is a really good analogy. Another would be the end of slavery in the United States. And in all three of these cases, you have these inflection points where there's a great opposition to a tremendous moral evil, followed by the much trickier work in some sense of, well, now what do? How do we rebuild the U.S. after the Civil War? How do we rebuild Eastern Europe and the Soviet bloc after the Cold War? How do we rebuild America now after this? And I think in all of those cases, there are some real missed opportunities that happened because the kind of bloc that fought the evil then fell apart or started fighting against each other or was needlessly triumphalistic in the victory. You know, think about after World War I, the punitive kind of sanctions on Germany and the damage that did. So this is a time for pro-lifers definitely to rejoice. Do not take me as saying don't rejoice. This is a great day of rejoicing. But it's also, in some ways, the beginning of the hard work.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll talk about that hard work when we come back. We're talking about the Roe versus Wade decision, as everybody else in the world is today. Trent Horn, our guest. Joe Heschmeyer, our guest. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We'll be right back to talk about this more, and we'd love to talk about it with you. 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
From Rome to your home, EWTN's Vatican Bureau lets you watch all of the important events from Rome, even if you don't have a TV. Using the latest technology, we've made it possible to watch the latest news from the Holy See, all delivered directly to your home. It's easy. Watch live on EWTN YouTube and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Praise be Jesus on this feast of the Immaculate Heart of Jesus. It just, I said Immaculate Heart. I meant Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm pretty sure it was pretty immaculate, too, but we mean something else by that. Yes, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Thank you, all of you in there drinking your celebratory beers, reminding me of my proper theological terminology. We got a bunch of people in the studio with us. The number is 888-318-7884. You are welcome to call. Joe, you ended the last segment saying, you know, this is a day for celebration. This is a hard-fought, hard-won victory. It involved dealing with decades of disappointments and setbacks, and also a sense of fighting against powers and principalities that were better organized than we were and more intelligent in many ways than we were. But the victory is the Lord's, not ours. I'm so happy that it happens on the day that we're remembering His Sacred Heart. But you were saying this, as much as this is a victory, the meaning of the victory is often decided after it happens, as certainly is the case after the First World War, where the entire world was torn apart within a generation because people did not handle victory well.
Exactly. And in some ways, the Sacred Heart is the perfect image of that, because the kind of triumph Christ has isn't a cruel triumph. And it's easy to say, well, look at how badly we've been treated.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're going to get our comeuppance.
Right.
And that's not how Christ responds.
No, it is not. What do you think, Trent, going forward? What are your thoughts going forward?
Well, it's hard to know for sure. A lot of it will be reacting to what other people do, trying to pass particular state laws, pro-choice and pro-life advocates. But I think the important thing here is for pro-lifers to really keep the conversation focused and to not get sidetracked. I have tried to do this for, you know, half my life. I've been doing pro-life apologetics. And what I always encourage people to do, right, basically, I wish now.
Sorry, Trent, go ahead.
No, that's fine. So I would tell them, keep the question. You always have to return the conversation back to the one question that matters most. What are the unborn? One of the biggest obstacles in doing pro-life apologetics, I felt like in the past, was apathy. People don't want to talk about abortion. That was the hardest thing. I would train people learn how to talk about it. But just talking to your neighbor and your friends, it's a difficult subject to bring up. It's something people don't want to talk about. Now there is a natural opportunity in the months and years ahead, people will be talking about this. And so we have to be prepared. I think that now that the legal landscape has changed to allow the possibility of protecting the unborn, we have to double down on changing minds and hearts in order to change the law. That's why I would definitely recommend my course at the Catholic Answer School of Apologetics. It's called Arguing Against Abortion. In fact, that course, now until the end of June, it's free to anyone who is a patron of my podcast. So if you go to TrentHornPodcast.com, if you are a patron there at any level, TrentHornPodcast.com, you get free access to my course, Arguing Against Abortion. Watch it. It's like a 2-hour investment of your time, but you'll know how to just have these conversations. And that's what we really need to focus on, is being gracious and artful in helping people to see the logic and the compassion within the pro-life worldview. And so the victories going forward from here, just like everything that got us here, it's going to be lots of conversations on campus, at the office, with family members. It's those conversations all adding up that makes change, and we have to double down on that.
All right. We got every line full, so we are going to go to the phones. I don't know if you wanted to...
Let's just go to the calls.
Go to the calls?
Yeah.
All right. Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Tom, thanks for calling. Go ahead with your question for Trent Horn and Joe Heschmeyer.
Well, first of all, glory be and hallelujah.
Praise
I'll
God.
Tell you, I'm so thrilled today I can't stand it. But here's my question. The Supreme Court made the ruling that abortion was legal, and they said this for the entire United States. Okay, that's against the Constitution. But here's my question is, well, then why, when it's overturned now, why isn't that also for the entire United States, instead of state by state?
Yeah, I'd be happy to take that one. That's a very good question. Prior to Roe, it was not that there was a constitutional ban on abortion. The question of abortion was left up to the states. And so, and they point this out in the Dobbs decision, that until or like in the 19th century when the 14th Amendment is passed, three quarters of states had laws against abortions. Later on, it's more like half and half. But so you have states legalizing abortion. For instance, California does prior to Roe. These are called the early legalizer states. It was not that there was a constitutional ban on abortion. It was that the question of abortion was left to the states. And that is still that is what we've now returned to. In theory, Congress could pass a law outlawing abortion. But
or it could pass a law outlawing the outlawing of abortion.
Yes, you could do exactly. It could do either of those things. But the Congress has not actually stepped in either direction on this question.
Well, they tried.
Yeah,
they failed.
That's a very good point.
They attempted to codify Roe v. Wade into federal law and could not secure enough votes in the Senate.
Tom, was that helpful to you? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Tom. Appreciate.
I think I might also add there, Cy, the state of abortion law now in this country. Some people will say, well, this is unworkable. You can't have it be legal in one state and not another. How could you have that? My response would be, we actually have a system like that already for another kind of killing. So in 1999, I believe, Washington versus Glucksberg, a unanimous Supreme Court decision, the Glucksberg decision said there is no constitutional right to assisted suicide. However, the court did not say assisted suicide is something that is illegal in all 50 states. It left it up to the states to decide if you're going to have assisted suicide or not. And so today we have a patchwork. We have California, Oregon, other states that have assisted suicide, and some states that don't. And so we've had that framework, which is much preferable to nobody can outlaw it whatsoever. And that it's similar framework is now what we have for abortion. So it's not ideal, but it's way better than what we used to have.
Well, yeah, maybe if I can build off of that.
Yeah.
Glucksberg's really fascinating because all of the arguments for abortion, constitutional arguments for abortion, would seem to also be arguments for physician-assisted suicide. Like if you can control your own body enough to kill someone else who's in it, why can't you kill yourself? And so the court in Glucksberg actually had a much better argument, even with Ginsburg, I believe, is the one who traced this and just said, yeah, this isn't a real constitutional right. And so really what's happening in the Dobbs case is we're just pointing out the thing Ginsburg already pointed out, which is this is a made-up constitutional
right. It does appear that Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is invoked for all kinds of horrible things today, as much as I'm sure she was a pro-choice, pro-abortion person, she seems to have not been a legal moron. She knew that Roe was wrongly decided.
And so Dobbs points out that in Glucksberg, I'll quote it, which held that the Due Process Clause does not confer a right to assisted suicide, the court surveyed more than 700 years of Anglo-American common law tradition and made clear that a fundamental right must be objectively, deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition. And quite clearly, that's not the case.
I would like to say one thing about this while we're talking about the legal stuff, and I'll go back to the phones. I think there's under the Constitution, I'm willing to concede, although I don't know this for a fact, that the decision that they came to today is correct, that the unborn are neither protected by the Constitution, nor is abortion protected by the Constitution. However, stepping away just for a quick second from American law and history, a just law would ban abortion.
Yes. A
just law
absolutely
would ban suicide. And I don't want anyone to get the impression that we in any way step away or step back from that and we're satisfied to say, oh, well, it's all a matter of the Constitution. A Catholic must be willing to say, well, if that's what the Constitution says, the Constitution itself is wrong. And a constitutional amendment to fix that might be one way, or I don't know what other ways.
Or
might
national
be.
Law. I mean, there's not a constitutional law against murder.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter.
Right.
Because you can have, not every right, not everything has to be established in the Constitution.
So none of the justices ruled today that because of the 14th Amendment, the unborn are protected. Which is a legal argument some people make. I'm not a lawyer, and I haven't studied it. I don't know what the Constitution would decide. I just want to make the point that there's a difference between what the Constitution provides for and what is just. And what is just is that the unborn are always and everywhere protected until natural death.
Yeah, and so I think that's an important distinction to make, because that's one that it's frustrating not to see on the other side, that it should be possible for someone to say, I personally am fine with abortion, or I support abortion, or whatever, and still realize Roe v. Wade is obviously making it up when it says there's a constitutional right to abortion. And the fact that pro-choice justices can't agree on where this right is coming from, and Roe gives three different kind of contradictory legal theories about where it's coming from and just doesn't even try to figure it out. It just vaguely says, yeah, I mean, there's a right to privacy somewhere, and the right to abortion is built on a right to privacy. And that's not good legal argumentation at all, regardless of one's view of
abortion. And then Roe, that gets eliminated in Casey.
Yeah. Right.
Casey ends up saying, forget that. We'll do something else. We'll do the 14th Amendment.
Yeah. Well, any amendment with a number 4 at the end of it will be invoked at some point for these. We got to take a quick break. There are lots of folks on the line. It's a day of celebration. It's also a day when we got to take up the banner of debate and argument. We'll do that after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Can you defend the Church's teaching on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist? Do you desire a deeper relationship with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Join us September 22nd through 25th for the annual Catholic Answers Conference in San Diego. This year's theme is the Eucharist, I Am With You Always. Featuring all the Catholic Answers speakers and special guest Bishop Thomas Papraki, use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on Mortal Life, the life you were meant to live.
We'll look at how the theology of the body can help you live a more abundant life.
That's tomorrow on Mortal Life, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
What was the first state today to outlaw abortion? Either of you know? First state?
I was told Missouri, but I don't know
Missouri
if that's
Missouri went
true.
First? All right. Well, congratulations, Missouri. You win. The number here is 888-318-7884. Oh, that's your state, Darren. The show me state.
And actually mine. Yeah, I just checked. Missouri was the first.
That's what,
so we did it minutes after. I mean, I actually live in Kansas, but I was born in Missouri, so I'm still going to claim it today.
Yeah, you just claim it.
Whenever I want, yeah.
Well, what about Kansas? Is abortion illegal
in
Kansas right
now? No, in Kansas, there is a constitutional amendment being proposed called the Value Them Both Amendment. Because Kansas, the Supreme Court there is so radical that they claim there was a right to abortion under the Kansas Constitution, which is actually more laughable than
the
idea
U.S.
that,
Constitution.
Yeah. Right. And so voters are, I think, going to come out and really say, no, that's not the case. And so the Value of Them Both will just overturn that, and then we can outlaw abortion.
One of the things that abortion has done is distort our national personality. I mean, there's a way in which there has had to be so much lying around what the Constitution is, what science says about when human life begins, what philosophy says about, you know, there's been lying about how violent the pro-life movement was. I wonder if we're going to recover from these distortions or, you know, there's still the possibility we'll just be swamped by them. But when you have, you know, these Supreme Court, state Supreme Courts
Yeah.
Who are going to, now they'll play games with the state constitution. It just seems like it goes on and on and on. There's a sense of justification in it. Like, this is such an important issue. You know, people saying things like our democracy is over today. Democracy has ended, and it's as if slavery has come back. Stop it. I mean, if you want to be crazy, just do it at home for a while and then come out in public, because that's not helping anybody, and that's not sensible. And I don't think it's convincing. I know the right. pro-choice side is not going to take advice from me, but a little less crazy, please. It'll help you.
I think it was Ed Whelan who just said if women's liberation was going on, or you know, the suffragette movement, if women's right to vote was going on today, it would just be done through legal briefs. There wouldn't be an actual like argument to change the national opinion on the issue.
Right.
You'd just try to win a legal victory, which would be a much more fragile kind of victory, as we're seeing today.
Yeah. You know, and the reason that we have the Supreme Court we have today is because you kept pushing it. You kept like saying nobody gets to vote on gay marriage. Nobody gets to vote on abortion. Nobody, because all of these are absolute rights. Well, who told you that the Supreme Court is supposed to invent absolute rights? And that's why you have the Supreme Court you have. Come up with a new strategy, or you're making it too easy on us.
Yeah, and Glucksberg, the Justice Rehnquist said, we must exercise the utmost care whenever we are asked to break new ground in this field, lest the liberty protected by the Due Process Clause be subtly transformed into the policy preferences of the members of this court. In other words, you just turn it into a nine-person super Congress that the American people have no ability to vote for or against or vote out of office. And that is actually how democracy dies.
Yeah.
It's not in darkness, it's in dark robes.
Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear what he just did? He did a little dig at the Washington Post there. There was a little dig at the Washington Post in that. I'm going to go back to the phones. Trent, unless you wanted to say something.
No, just say that also we should remember that democracy can often die due to thunderous applause.
I almost did that, so. And I held back, so I'm glad you went there.
Oh, my gosh. Did you just quote Star Wars?
The bad Star Wars.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Don't do that. All right, Nate in Dallas, watching on YouTube, you're next. Nate, go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Congratulations.
Hi. Thank you, Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
I was wondering about penalties, but I first wanted to suggest that the timing of it might be a little bit braggadocious. You know, the Catholics on the Supreme Court aiming for today to, you know, release the decision. As Trent said, an unusual day. I just don't know if that will be something to consider as muddying the waters between politics and the Supreme Court.
But, yeah. Oh, you mean religion? Like when you're saying Supreme Court.
Yes, exactly. Because you were saying
One nice thing about the pro-choice movement is they've never accused us of being religious fanatics. I mean, that's never happened. So
right,
I hope that doesn't start
also,
now. Sorry, Nate,
the other
I'm just
nice
playing
thing
around.
The other nice thing about being Catholic is any day the court picks, we got a feast day for something. So,
although it is a Friday, and someone was saying to me, you try to dump these things on Friday when you want to kind of give people a couple days to mull over it before business starts up again.
Well, I think the serious thing is this was originally the last day opinions were going to be released in terms of the court's terms, which is what when you have really controversial opinions, the court will often wait until the very end. And this, for the same reason, you wait till Friday with business. Now, the court actually had so many opinions that they're going to have a few more that release on Monday. But that was, they had to modify their own schedule just to... So I think that's the actual reason, not that they were intentionally timing it for the Feast of the Sacred Heart. But I like the idea that God had other plans.
Yeah, I do think Nate makes a good point, though, in that Catholics are heavily implicated here because these are Catholic justices that did this. And the Catholic Church has been the primary pro-life organization in the world since the year 33 A.D., and so there's no question that I saw this thing from Homeland Security today saying that Catholic churches should be cautious this weekend, should be on alert. Well, that's pretty ugly stuff, but it's stuff that I do think we have to be attentive to. So fair enough point, Nate. I'm sorry I was teasing you a little bit, but go ahead. You said you had a question too.
Yes, thank you. So my question is the Catholic Church, as you said, has been very front line, and now that it's legal for some states to outlaw it, what is the Catholic position on punishment for women who seek, women who obtain, and doctors who perform abortions. If your argument is that this is the taking of a life, it is murder, this is killing, then
yeah,
would that mean that the Catholic Church be on the front lines demanding punishments? And I want to build on this just a little bit and point out that in the Bible, like in the past, the Church seems to have been a little bit hands-off when they were in charge of Rome, when they were in charge of the Roman Empire, and they said, you know, it's the Bible says this, it's illegal to cross-dress, and it's up to the civil authorities to implement the punishment. Yes, you're a heretic. Yes, you're condemned. Right. Now take them away, state, and the state would do it. So would that, or is that the tack that they're going to take now and just say, look, it's in the Bible, and you're not supposed to kill, and it's up to the state to do what you want, and they're going to be hands-off.
If I may ask you before the guy's answer, do you seriously think that, like, there's a threat that the civil authorities in the United States are going to check with the Catholic Church before they make decisions?
No.
Okay.
I'm not saying that they will defer like they used to, but that is the old way that they did things. They would just condemn a heretic, and then the state would execute, and the church would say, see, we didn't execute anybody. We just condemned them, and the state executed them. And that's my point.
Okay. Well, I think I will let Trent tackle this one.
Yeah, Nate? I'm going to set that question aside, because the relationship between church and state was a lot different 500 years ago than it is today, where you often had the state wanting to intervene inappropriately in the affairs of the church in order to maintain its power and things like that. And when it comes to punishment for abortion, the church does not have a teaching on the nature of legal punishments for abortion, or really for any crime, frankly. That's something that's left up to civil authorities to determine what kind of punishment should be given, because for any crime, the punishment varies widely. Even for homicide, some homicides result in the death penalty. Of course, the church teaches that's inadmissible, or life imprisonment. There are some homicides, however, that are not punished as severely. If you recognize the person involved was under extreme mental duress, for example, you have jurisdictions in Europe that have infanticide laws, where recognizing mothers who take the lives of their infants are not a threat to the community as a whole, and they're usually under severe mental and emotional duress. And so they're given much lighter punishments, understanding their unique culpability. So I think in the U.S. you could have similar kinds of laws. You might call them feticide laws. Now, what I think would happen is that prior to Roe versus Wade, it was extremely rare. I'm not aware of a documented case in the U.S., of women who were prosecuted for obtaining abortions. Rather, the punishment for abortion was given to the doctors that performed the procedure. These are people who ought to know better. They are people who financially benefit from this situation. They're not possibly under coercion or financial stress like the women who are involved. So there are abortion providers who are punished, lose their medical licenses, could be subject to imprisonment, because they often are involved in killing hundreds, if not thousands, of human beings. So I think that if we went back to that, that would be moral. And some people may say, well, how could you punish one party but not another party? Well, we actually do something similar with other kinds of laws. So, for example, take prostitution. There are many places where people understand women who are driven to prostitution are often under a form of coercion or financial stress or in a difficult situation. And so to not make a bad situation worse, there are laws that only punish the purchasing of prostitution, but not the selling of it. And so you might have, we would probably have something similar for abortion, laws that punish supplying abortion, but not necessarily an attempt to obtain one. But the fact of the matter is, people will disagree about what legal punishments are and aren't appropriate. And I would just ask people the question, look, here's my question. What should the punishment be if a parent directly intends to end the life of their child? You'd say, well, it depends. What's their culpability? What's their mental state? But I hardly think anyone would say parents have the right to do that. We shouldn't be worried about it. Rather, we should ask, what are the unborn? And then we should treat them humanely, and then treat their parents humanely, and at the very least protect them under the law, and then come up with an equitable legal structure that respects both the mother and the child.
Nate, I'm going to leave it there. And if you guys will hang on, we got to take a quick break. We'll do that break. We'll be right back with more discussion of today's Roe versus Wade decision with Trent Horn and Joe Heschmeyer on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I'm a Dominican, and St. Dominic was an itinerant preacher who went around and touched people's lives by open-air preaching. The radio opens the possibilities of doing this to the entire world in a very intimate sense.
EWTN Open Line Thursday with Father Brian Mullady. Tonight, 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It is a day of celebration for us. I know it's not a day of celebration for everyone. And I know that for some people, there's an honest, what we would call an honest error at the root of that, of maybe the dejection of the day today. That is a sense that an injustice has been done to women. Or to child bearers, or what am I supposed to say? Birthing people.
Birthing people.
People but, with uteri.
Yeah, but that's what I mean about the there's been a tremendous distortion over the last 50 years, and many of the things that people are saying are going to happen now, and what this means for our society are exaggerations. They're not going to happen. Pro-life people don't hate women. They don't hate sex. They don't hate women's sexuality. They're not religious fanatics. Although I'm sure among us there are people who do all of those things, but that's not what this is about. This is about extending the civil rights, the human rights, recognitions that have been broadened and broadened over the last 500 years. To firmly and without apology include human beings who are vulnerable because they are not yet born. And that really is the issue for us. And all, you know, you don't need to do a deep psychoanalysis to get at what the issue is. However, knowing that there's a great deal of hurt, I mean, I'm loath to over-celebrate because I know that there are people who are hurting or have mixed feelings about this. Well, I'm not sure. You know, maybe quite sincerely are saying to themselves, I don't want an abortion. I don't want anybody to have an abortion. But do I want to live in a country where it's illegal? And they haven't come to that. You know, they haven't worked that out for themselves to the degree that we confidently have here.
Well, yeah. I also think the answer to that will depend in large part on what we as pro-life
what this country becomes. Yeah.
So Deacon Stephen Gray Dennis had what I thought was a great line.
Yeah, the movie reviewer and New Jersey deacon.
Yes, he said,
sometimes guest on this show.
If the pro-life community steps up, the fall of Roe could be a major step toward beginning to build a culture of life. If that doesn't happen, of course, it will still be a good thing that Roe was overturned. Nothing could make that anything other than a good thing per se. But the ultimate outcome will not be the good that could and should have followed. And I would say the same thing, you know, the end of slavery was very good. The fact that Reconstruction largely failed and a lot of freed slaves ended up back on the plantation, that was a missed opportunity, to put it very mildly.
Yeah.
And so we have an opportunity here that I really hope we don't miss to create a more just and humane society so that even people who are conflicted or on the fence will look at that and say, oh, no, this is better than what we thought was the best we could get.
Yeah. Trent, anything before I go back to the phones?
Nope.
All right.
Let's jump right in.
Let's go to David in Cleveland, watching on YouTube. David, go ahead with your question for Joe Heschmeyer and Trent Horn.
Hi, David. I'm not too happy. You know, I didn't think they were going to be a Catholic getting a chicken leg, you know, to start our thing. The thing is, I was speaking to a couple of friends, you know, and they end up talking about this whole abortion thing. And I was trying to, you know, give them, I did a lot of research on it. I, you know, called the show a bunch of times. I read many books. I thought it was bulletproof on this issue. But when I spoke to them, I sort of got, you know, nervous and sort of wasn't able to, you know, really, you know, I think I didn't see the wasn't the best going. I'm just wondering.
David, I'm having a tremendous time making out what you're saying. I'm afraid. Is there a problem with your connection, by any chance?
Maybe. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, much better now.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. What was the nature of your question?
Yeah. Sure. So I'm just wondering. I was speaking to a couple of friends and I was having a tough time. You know, I thought I looked bulletproof on this issue. I read a bunch of books. I called them to show many times and. But this time I sort of, had a hard time. I'm just wondering, is there any sort of thing I could say, simple thing, scientifically, that proves that abortion is bad, life begins at conception?
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to take that. Yes, it's a very good question. So a lot of people suffer under the delusion that this is something that you have to be religious to be against. But the notion that life begins at conception is a scientific fact. And not just of humans either. If you talk about when any mammal's life begins, when does a dog's life begin? Well, it's when it's a unique, distinct living, in that case, canine organism, which is when there's a fusion of sperm and egg and when the two gametes are replaced by a single zygote. It's a scientific fact. If you look at the life cycle of a mammal, it begins at sexual reproduction. And, it's trickier to say, when does an asexual thing come into existence, an acorn compared to the oak tree. But for a sexually reproducing creature, it's really clear. And so the four things you're looking at are when there's a distinct living human organism, then you have there a unique human life. And so to give myself as an example or to give you, we began biologically at the moment of conception. You were genetically male. You're clearly not just your mother. You're clearly not just your father. You're half of your mother's genes, half of your father's genes, a unique human organism. So that's the basic scientific standard. And you will find in an abundance of science books that support that. So to give just one example, the Developing Human Clinically Oriented Embryology, you can find literally probably hundreds of science books that give this, because this is an indisputable fact about when life begins biologically, scientifically. And so people who deny that actually aren't arguing the science. They're taking some abstract philosophical idea of personhood and saying, well, you're not really a person until such and such. But the question of when does life begin biologically, scientifically, is it's really open and shut.
And I would recommend go to our website, catholic.com. I have an article there I wrote back in 2015 called How to Prove Life Begins at Conception. So just go to catholic.com, search Life Begins at Conception. You'll find it right there.
Thank you, David. Appreciate that call. We're talking about what everybody else on Earth is talking about today, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. If you'd like to get in on that conversation, you're very welcome here. We'll continue the conversation into the next hour. More news to share, a few more quotes to read to you, but also just some lots and lots of good conversation to be had. We're going to go to Megan in Wisconsin now, watching on YouTube. Megan, thanks for waiting. Go ahead with your question or comment for Joe and Trent.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. I heard recently that Wisconsin has, the Planned Parenthood here have paused at a few of their clinics here, which is, just great to hear and just crazy to think of how many rosaries have been said for this to be end. So,
thank you for saying that.
Glory be to God and everything.
Yes. Yeah. Glory be to God.
My question is, it's great. My question is, I've kind of struggled with talking with people where, they're not willing to admit that, abortion and, is terminating a human life. It's they can't accept that it's a human life. And I was wondering if you guys had any, input on how to get past that, maybe to, still be able to continue to engage with someone who's, can't even accept that point.
Yeah.
What seems to me the bare minimum, but how do you continue to engage after that?
Well, I think what you should do is ask them questions, and I would ask them, what makes something a human life? And how do you know the unborn are not a human life? If you say they're not a human life, you'd have to know what a human life is. So you might ask them, am I a human life? Are you a human life? Is a newborn baby a human life? What do we all have in common? And what we all have in common is that we're growing, we have human DNA, and we are a whole organism. So we are a complete biological being. Okay, we can grow, we can develop over time. But guess what? Human embryos and human fetuses also have those characteristics. And if they say, well, a human life is just something that lives outside the womb, well, is a rat a human life, a pigeon? They'll say, well, no, it's a human life is a human who lives outside the womb. Okay, well, now you're being arbitrary and circular. You already know the word human has to mean something there. You mean a living being with human DNA, but you're picking birth or viability. Now you're just picking arbitrary differences, and you're no different than someone who would say, well, a human being is any human who's white or any human who's male or any human who's born. Those are all the same kind of arbitrary standards. So that's kind of the route that I would take. But Megan, if you stay on the line, I would be happy for us to send you a copy of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. And I think that will give you a ton of resources to talk about. And then so you could use that. And then I definitely recommend our listeners get a copy of Persuasive Pro-Life if you want to brush up on all these questions, how to engage others.
Yeah, to really hammer home why it's so arbitrary to choose viability, the idea of like the ability of the fetus to live outside the womb. I think people have in mind that it's a particular moment in time as some kind of fixed point, and it's not. So our ability to help very premature babies live outside the womb for a prolonged period of time is getting better and better, which means that the moment of viability is earlier now than it was 30 years ago. It's earlier in the U.S. than it is in, say, sub-Saharan Africa. And it would be crazy to say a 25-week-old child is a living human being and morally relevant if they're an American, but not if they're an African baby. Like, that is just so blatantly hypocritical and incoherent that it's worth calling out. The other thing is the idea of the ability to survive outside the womb being relevant. A non-living thing, we don't talk about, you know, a rock can't die inside or outside the womb. There's no place where you're like, oh no, if we put the rock in this circumstance, it'll die, because a rock's not alive. So when we're talking viability, when we're talking about whether or not the baby is gonna die, that only makes sense if the baby's already alive, because non-living things don't die.
Can you just, thanks, Megan, and we're going to send you the book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and I'm sure you will find it helpful, as many people have. But Joe, one day you shared with us a three-step argument against abortion. Do you remember the argument?
Yeah, I think I do. That if it's growing, it's alive. If it has human parents, it's human. And therefore it's wrong to kill.
Yeah.
That's kind of idea. Now Trent adds an important nuance there, that we're talking about organic life, meaning like your skin cells are alive, where you could take them and, you know, have them in like a
But they don't have human lab. Parents.
They don't have human parents. That's exactly right.
Right. So
and then they're not a human organism.
Yeah.
What the embryo is. Like, there is an important scientific difference, which is why we can talk about the parents. If you say life begins later on, I don't know what you understand a mother and a father to be. If you say this is part of the woman's body, and then at birth it suddenly not only isn't part of her body, but now it has a father, I don't know what that is, but that's not scientific.
Yeah, indeed it's not. Megan, I hope that was satisfying to you. It was a very, very helpful question. We have some wonderful questions coming up, and we have an hour in which Trent Horn and Joe Heschmeyer will stay with us, answer questions, kind of engage in dialogue with you if you just have a comment, that kind of thing. Let me give out the number again, because there's going to be two lines open, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. What I think was certainly a day that I will never forget, and I think for many people, they will not forget this day. Weeks and months ahead will determine a lot about what the meaning of this is. But it's possible at this moment that we could heal from a great wrong here in this nation and make moral progress as a nation by saying no to things that we should have said no to a long time ago. It's by no means foreordained that we will, but that a possibility is open to us right now.
This is not the end. This is not the beginning of the end, but this may be the end of the beginning.
Time to pray. And who was it that just said that? I think it was Megan who just said rosaries. You know,
yes.
Rosaries got us here. Rosaries will get us where we need to go. Keep praying them. We'll be right back with Trent Horn and Joe Heschmeyer, talking about the Roe v. Wade decision on Catholic Answers Live.